Let me pray for us as we stand. Father, you are a good and a gracious God, and we love to praise you and worship you. And as we gather around your word now, we pray that you would give me power to speak and give us ears to hear and give us a will to obey what you say. And we ask this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. So if you'd like to send your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. We're in our series on Sunday nights looking at intriguing questions. And we're in 1 Corinthians 7 for the next 3 weeks. And we are in verses 8 to 16. And I'm going to read verse 39 as well. Think of that as an added bonus verse for you this evening. So 8 to 16 and verse 39. To the unmarried and the widows, I say that it is good for them to remain single as I am. But if they cannot exercise self-control, they should marry. For it is better to marry than to be aflame with passion. To the married I give this charge, not I, but the Lord. The wife should not separate from her husband. But if she does, she should remain unmarried or else be reconciled to her husband. And the husband should not divorce his wife. To the rest I say, I, not the Lord, that if any brother has a wife who is an unbeliever and she consents to live with him, he should not divorce her. If any woman has a husband who is an unbeliever and he consents to live with her, she should not divorce him. For the unbelieving husband is made holy because of his wife, and the unbelieving wife is made holy because of her husband. Otherwise, your children would be unclean. But as it is, they are holy. But if the unbelieving partner separates, let it be so. In such cases, the brother or sister is not enslaved. God has called you to peace. Wife, how do you know whether you will save your husband? Husband, how do you know whether you will save your wife? Verse 39. A wife is bound to her husband as long as he lives, but if her husband dies, she's free to be married to whom she wishes, only in the Lord. This is God's word. So on Sunday evenings, we are looking at intriguing questions, and the question we're looking at this evening is this. Is it ever okay for divorced Christians to remarry? Is it ever okay for divorced Christians to remarry? Now, there's five things I want to say by way of introduction before we get to the question. The first thing I want to say is this is a really important topic. I looked online and last year, I was told that 100,000 marriages ended in the UK. That's 40% of marriages ended. Now, whatever you think about marriage, whatever you think about divorce, that's a sad statistic. It's an important subject, therefore, for us to think about. It's also a sensitive subject. Those were statistics, but statistics don't tell the whole story. Divorce is painful. Those of you who've been through divorce or experienced the divorce of parents or of friends know how painful it is. And so this topic needs to be handled carefully and sensitively, not judgmentally. And so if you've been divorced, please listen and hear what I say I'm not being judgmental in what I say. We live in grace and we're all broken people. The third thing is that it is a confusing topic. There's a lot of confusion outside the church and inside the church about marriage, and therefore there's a lot of confusion about divorce as well. What actually is marriage? What's it all about? What are the grounds for divorce? When should you get divorced? A fourth thing is, this leads people to be very cynical about the whole topic of marriage. And one of the reasons for wanting to talk about divorce is not because I want to talk about divorce, but because I want us as a church and us as Christians to value marriage, to have a high view of marriage and what it actually is. You know, because of the divorce rates, because of people's experience of broken relationships and broken marriages, many people are very cynical. What's the point in getting married anyway? Why bother with it? There seem to be very few people in life who are happily married. And the fifth thing to say is this. And this isn't just something to say on this question of divorce, but it's something to say about our lives generally. And that's this. When we come to the Bible, do we believe that God knows best? Do we believe that God wants the best for us? Do we believe that God's way is the way that will most honor Him and most make us happy as individuals? See, I think often with these personal pastoral questions, there's a deeper question, which is, what do you think of God and His ways? Is He a good God who loves you and wants what's best for you? Because if He is, then the way that you approach the topic, the way you approach His word on the topic, will be very different. You'll want to listen to what He says, and whether you find it easy or hard to accept, you will want to try to accept it, because you know that God has got your best interests at heart. So, 5 points of introduction. What I intend to do is simply walk through this passage, which is Paul's pastoral advice to the Corinthians, and as we walk through the passage, to answer the question about marriage, remarriage, and divorce. In verses 8 to 16, Paul actually addresses three groups of people. And those are the three groups of people we're going to look at. He addresses singles. He addresses those who are married to other Christians. And he addresses those who are married to non-Christians. So singles, married to non-Christians. First of all, first group, singles, verses 8 and 9. In this group are those who are unmarried and those who are widows. And Paul says this, to the unmarried and the widows, I say that it is good for them to remain single as I am. If you're single here this evening, Paul thinks it's good to be single. I'm not going to talk much about that. I'm going to talk more about that next week when we'll have a whole evening looking at singleness. But Paul thinks it's a really good thing. But, he says, he's got a qualification. If they cannot exercise self-control, they should marry. For it is better to marry than to be aflame with passion. In other words, if someone who's unmarried or a widow is burning with passion and there's an opportunity for them to get married, it's okay to get married. It's not wrong to get married. It's not sinful to get married. Paul then qualifies it further in verse 39, where he says that a wife is bound to her husband as long as he lives, but if her husband dies, she's free to be married to whom she wishes, only in the Lord. In other words, it's fine if you're a widow to get remarried, or if you're unmarried to get married in the first place, but only to marry someone in the Lord. In other words, only to marry a Christian. Christians should only marry Christians. Because if you marry someone who isn't a Christian, then the center of their life is very different. They worship something other than Jesus Christ. And that's hard. So Paul's advice, if you're a Christian, only marry a Christian. So that's group one, the singles. The second group is those who are married, those Christians in the church who are married to other Christians. And his advice, in fact, he says in verse 10, to the married, I give this charge, but not I, but the Lord. In other words, Paul here seems to be taking on Jesus' advice from the Gospels, Jesus' advice about marriage and also about divorce, which had been passed down to the church orally, because it hadn't been written down yet in the Gospels. And Paul says this, the wife should not separate from her husband. In other words, Christian couples, stay married. There seem to have been some couples in Corinth who felt like they didn't want to be married anymore. And Paul's advice was, stay married. Don't separate. And he gave that advice because of what marriage actually is. See, what is marriage? Well, marriage is a covenant. It's a lifelong, exclusive, legal and personal commitment between a man and a woman. It's an exclusive, lifelong, personal and legal commitment between a man and a woman. It's based on promises. We see that in the marriage service. If you've been to a wedding, if you've been to a Church of England wedding, then you'll have heard these vows. I, husband's name, or I, wife's name, take you to be my husband, to be my wife. To have and to hold from this day forward, for better, for worse. For richer, for poorer. In sickness and in health, to love and to cherish, till death us do part. It's a lifelong commitment based on promises that you make to each other. And those promises aren't dependent on the other person keeping their side of the bargain. You're promising, for better or for worse, I will love you. I will be committed to you. See, that's at the back of what Paul says here. And Paul says, married couples, stay married because you've promised those things to each other. Don't know if they had the Church of England wedding service back then, but they'd have had something similar. He says, if you feel like you don't want to be married anymore, which some married couples get to, sometimes people feel that they've made a mistake getting married to the person they're married to. Or they think, well, life will be better or easier, or I can be more useful to the Lord even if I was single. Well, Paul says, don't do it. Stick at your marriage. Stick in there even if it's difficult. Don't consider divorce. If your marriage is hard, pray and ask God for his grace. He can rekindle lost passion. He can rekindle lost desires. He can change the dynamics of your relationship. He can renew your marriage. That's what Paul says here. He says, if you don't want to be married anymore, if you don't feel like being married anymore, stick at it. But, he says, verse 11, a qualification. If the wife does separate, she should remain unmarried or else be reconciled to her husband, and the husband should not divorce his wife. Paul brings in a qualification here. Because he knows that sometimes couples separate. He's not saying this is good, he's not commanding it, but he knows that in some cases couples may separate. And there's a number of reasons why couples might be apart and be separate. One of you gets ill, physically or mentally, or circumstances, life circumstances force you apart, either tragedy or work. the illness of a family member, or one of you's committed a crime and you're in prison and you're living separately, or one of you has been mistreated by the other, maybe been neglected or abused in some way, emotionally or physically. And the sad result is that you're apart. You can't live under the same roof. You've got to live separately. And those situations are sad. Some of those situations are more sad than others. But Paul says, if that's the case, then don't divorce. He says, either come back together or stay unmarried and celibate. You see, Paul has such a strong view of marriage here that he says, what God has joined together, let no one divide. This is hard. And if you're in a hard marriage, may God give you grace. May God give you grace to stick in there as a married couple. And if you have to live apart for a while, short term, long term, may God give you grace there as well. Third. The third group is those who are married to an unbeliever. Paul says this in verse 12. To the rest, I say, I, not the Lord. There seem to be a lot of people in the church in Corinth who were married to non-Christians. There seems to be a lot of people who've just become Christians and their spouses haven't. And Paul says this is my advice, I, not the Lord, because Jesus hasn't commented on that previously. But he's taking the principles of marriage and applying them to this situation. And his advice is this. If any brother has a wife who is an unbeliever and she consents to live with him, he should not divorce her. Paul's advice, stay married. If you became a Christian and your partner isn't a Christian, stay married to them. It seems like in Corinth, there were some people who were saying, well, I've become a Christian, but my partner isn't, and therefore, maybe I should divorce them because, you know, I'm a believer, they're not a believer, we shouldn't be joined together. Doesn't that make me unclean if I'm joined with them? And doesn't the Bible say that I should only marry a Christian anyway? But I'm already married to this person and they're not a Christian, so shouldn't we just go our separate ways? And Paul says, no. He says, stay married. Even if they're an unbeliever. In fact, some people in the church in Corinth were probably thinking, look, if I'm a believer over here and they're not a believer, if I'm holy and they're not holy, then their unholiness is going to, you know, squash my holiness. Or their dirtiness is going to make me unclean. And Paul says, no, it works the other way around. Your holiness is going to sanctify that relationship and sanctify your children. There is a sanctifying influence that a Christian can have in a family that isn't Christian. It's a massive blessing for the rest of the family to have somebody in the family who prays, who administers grace, who centers their life on Jesus Christ. In fact, time and again, God uses a person, a Christian in a family, to bring other members of the family to the Lord. But he has a qualification. Verse 15. If the unbelieving partner separates, let it be so. In such cases, the brother or sister is not enslaved. God has called you to peace. What's he saying? Well, he's saying this. If you're married to someone who's not a Christian, if you get married and you're married to someone who's not a Christian and they decide to leave you and to divorce you and go off with someone else, then don't contest the divorce. Let them go. And if they do divorce you, then you're not bound. You're free to remarry. These are similar instructions to what Jesus gave in Matthew chapter 19. Jesus, in addressing the whole subject of divorce and marriage, says this. In Matthew 19, Jesus says, I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another commits adultery. In other words, there are some cases where it's okay to get divorced and remarried. And I think here in 1 Corinthians 7, Paul's picking up on this and saying, look, if you're married to somebody and then they go off and with somebody else and divorce you, you're not bound. You can remarry. Doesn't mean to say that you should. If someone commits adultery in a relationship, that you should divorce them and get remarried. It just says that you can. I know people who've stuck in there in a relationship where there's been adultery, and they've stuck in there for months, even for years, and they've won their partner back. But I also know many situations where people have stuck in there and tried hard, and they've not won their partner back. And if that's the case, you're not bound. You can remarry. Now, this is a really sensitive topic, and lots of people have different feelings, especially if you've experienced divorce in whatever way. And so if you are here, or if you're watching online and you are divorced, don't let the devil get in. And he can get in two ways. The first is by bringing in feelings of guilt. If you're a Christian and you're trusting in Jesus Christ, then your sin has been paid for through the cross. The guilt of your sin has been paid for through the cross. And therefore, whatever happened in that marriage and in that divorce, your guilt has been taken away through Jesus Christ. Don't let the devil get in and bring you down with feelings of guilt if Jesus has paid for that. But also, don't let the devil get in through bitterness. If you've been wronged in a marriage and treated badly, don't let the devil get in by harboring bitterness towards your spouse. Forgive as Jesus Christ has forgiven you. I realize that is a really hard thing to do, but it's not impossible. There's a lady here at St. Clement's who died in the autumn, a lady called Judy, and she was a wonderful Christian lady. She became a Christian in her 20s, and she had three young boys at the time. She came back home after becoming a Christian, and her husband said to her, he said, I'm not having any of this Christian stuff in this house. Either you stop being a Christian or I'm going to leave. And she said, I'm not going to stop being a Christian. And so he walked out. And she never married again. She died, like I said, in the autumn, and she was single then for 50 years. Wonderful Christian lady. And the amazing thing that people said again and again, and her children said again and again at the funeral and outside the funeral, was what a forgiving woman she was. Within a couple of years, she was on very good terms with her ex-husband again, even though he treated her so badly. There was no bitterness. She'd let things go. And her faith shone through in an amazing way. But I don't want to just address divorced people. I also want to address those who are married and who are in a difficult marriage. I say again, don't let the devil get in. And the devil can get in by making you run away from your marriage. You know, we all want to run away from difficult situations. And if you're married, that means you want to run away from your partner. Don't let the devil get in and make you run. but come to God for his grace. Come to God for his grace and ask him to rekindle the love in your marriage, to restore your marriage, to remold your marriage once again. You see, Jesus Christ is the ultimate redeemer. He's redeemed us through his death on the cross, and he wants to redeem you, and he wants to redeem your marriage. You know, as Christians, we should live and act in a very different way than the world around us when it comes to relationships, and that includes marriage and how we treat one another in marriage. I'm going to pray for us as we close. I'm sure there's some questions that you have. If you do, just post the questions on Pigeonhole and we'll tell them at the end. But let me pray for us. Gracious Father, this is a tough topic and a sensitive topic. Lord, many of us have had experiences of divorce, either through friends or through parents, or even by being divorced ourselves. Father, we ask that you would administer grace to us and help us to administer grace to each other. And we ask, Lord, that you would help us here at St. Clement's to value marriage highly. May we see how precious this institution is. And may we want to stick at it, hard as it is. And for those who have been divorced, those who are struggling because their spouse has not been faithful, Lord, we ask that you'd help them to forgive. And may feelings of guilt be taken away, because Jesus Christ died on the cross for us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.